Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
Older and Wiser with James and Judith and Age Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund.
Can you see?
Well, I think we'll have Elvis Presley a little bit later. It's James and Judy here, and it's another time for an Older and Wiser show. You've just been listening to Status Quo and Margarita Time. That's not for another hour, is it, Judy? In the studio with us, Judy Woodhouse and Sally Ash. Some regulars, actually, here. You're from the Isle of Wight Trading Standards Department, aren't you? And you are here specially today to talk about doorstep crimes and doorstep nuisances.
Yes.
Now, first of all, Judy, could you just tell us a little bit more about what these doorstep problems are, please?
Yes, yeah, certainly. Doorstep crime is when you are visited, a person comes to your door, knocks on the door. You open the door and they want to sell you something. And quite often it's a service which perhaps your home looks like it needs.
Yeah.
But basically, the thing to do is to not engage in conversation. You don't actually have to answer the door to anyone.
Okay.
We would advise people to use either a little peephole, or basically, if you can see your doorway from your window, have a look out the window before you actually answer the door.
I think that's really good advice, Julie, but as we were saying off air, a lot of older people would feel quite rude, wouldn't they, doing that? I know my mum would have done, but I think people do have to harden their hearts.
Yes.
And think of themselves and think of their safety, and I think if people are genuine, they will understand, won't they?
Oh, absolutely. These people are there to just catch you when you're at your most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And if you just open the door to someone who's a complete stranger, you are immediately vulnerable to them, and they will take a step forward, for instance, into your doorway, and thus they will almost be in your home before you've even said anything.
Yes.
So there's many ways of doing that, but the best way is not to answer the door.
Absolutely. And if you do think you need a job doing, the thing to do, isn't it, is to ask your friends and your neighbours and your relatives and get recommendations.
Yes, that's right. I mean, we do have a trader approval scheme which you can find names and addresses. But perhaps the best thing I could tell you is a little story about a particular case that we have had over the past couple of years.
Okay.
It involves a couple. The gentleman has got the early onset of dementia.
Yeah.
The lady is housebound. So they're a lovely couple. They live in their own home. They have carers to come in 4 or 5 times a day to look after them. And they're completely self-sufficient in that environment.
Yeah.
Obviously, their garden is one of their problems. They're not able to get out there to do anything. On this occasion, these three people in a van came from Reading and drove straight to their address. They knocked on the door and obviously indicated that the garden needed attention, which,
yeah,
if you're an elderly person, you're very aware of the fact that you need your garden looking at, but not,
yes,
necessarily,
yeah,
have you got the means to do it or you want to do it. But if someone actually puts themselves forward and says, I've come to do your garden for you, then you will be very much perhaps on the sort of, they've got you.
Yeah.
You know. Mm. They did enter into a contract, but it was just for tidying the garden. That's all they wanted. They didn't,
yes,
want it landscaped,
yeah,
or anything like this.
Yeah.
So they did a bit of work, and then they went back into the house and asked for £400 in cash.
Wow.
The gentleman didn't have £400 in cash. He only had £100.
Yeah.
So they drove him to the post office so that he could actually get the rest of the money out.
Yeah.
And then when they got back home, they presented him with a contract for £4,000. We weren't there at this point in time. This,
yeah,
was all going on while they were alone.
Yeah.
In the evening, when one of their carers came in, she was very aware that he was very agitated.
Yeah.
And basically, he was beside himself because he thought he was going to be driven to the bank for a further £4,000.
Gosh. So did he feel threatened by these people?
Yes, I think he did. I don't say they did anything that was threatening, but by the mere fact that they were in his home talking to him, he felt that he had committed himself to this contract and he didn't really know what to do. Fortunately, the carer took it upon herself to talk to her supervisor, who phoned the police.
Yeah, good.
The police phoned us in the morning, and we were all there in the morning when they were returning to do the work.
Yeah. Terrific.
And basically, at this point, it's a case of us talking, making sure the victims are feeling safe, because you can imagine what it's like if it's in your own home. Not only have you got these traders there, you've got police there, and you've got us there. So primarily, our first thing to do is to make sure that they're okay, and to talk to them and try and get the basic of what's gone on.
Yeah,
very basic of what's gone on. And as soon as we're aware of the fact, the easiest thing for us is that if you do enter into a contract in your own home, you should be given a piece of paper that tells you that you have 14 days in which to cancel that contract.
Yeah, it's a cooling off period,
isn't
it?
That's right. It's quite an innocuous little thing, really, but actually that gives us the first grounds for saying, okay, they've broken the law, so the police are prepared to actually arrest them on the grounds that they've broken that law, and we can work on the rest of it when we've got the time and after we've sort of sorted
them. So did you actually meet these people from Reading?
Oh, yes, we got them arrested.
Wow. Oh, wow. Home. I bet they weren't looking forward to that, were they?
No, they weren't expecting that. They were expecting to rock up. I would add that in the back of the truck, they had no materials whatsoever.
Right, gosh.
They had something I presume you could cut a tree with, sort of.
Yeah.
And a few odd bits and bobs, but nothing what you'd expect if someone was coming to do a job on your home in your garden.
So they're going to be meeting Oscar Wilde in Reading Jail, are they?
actually, what happened was, this happened last year.
Yeah.
We prosecuted them for other offences, not just for the cancellation notice, for making statements to them like their garden was infested and things like this.
Yeah.
You know, things that actually are meant to worry. Yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah.
We have the legislation that allows us to take a prosecution. We took a prosecution. There was only one person really that was responsible.
Yeah.
And for the first time, we actually got a prison sentence. It was 18 weeks, and we were very pleased with that, because it does take a lot for the courts to actually give a prison sentence these days.
Yeah, it does. It does, doesn't it? Can I just wind back a little bit? Because at the beginning of that story, you said that these people had driven down specially from Reading. I mean, what had made them think that this couple were so special and so, I don't know, so open to manipulation?
Right. They actually were victims of I can't remember exactly, but it was about 3 or 4 years before.
Right.
They had already been victims of a doorstep crime. And again, we prosecuted and were successful.
Yeah.
But what happens is the names and addresses go into the system of buying and selling among rogue traders. And, you know, they're known, their vulnerability was known.
Yeah.
And therefore, straight in.
It's appalling. So there is this list of, I suppose, what people would call mugs that goes around. I mean, they're not mugs, they're just vulnerable people.
Yeah.
But it's a sort of mugs list that's passed around that's actually sold. Isn't that despicable?
It is. And we don't want to worry people, obviously, because, you know, this is something that goes on. But what we want people to do is to start to try and look after themselves. Yeah. And the best thing to do, and I can't reiterate this enough, is to not to answer your door to a stranger.
Yeah, and I think from Judith, you'd agree with me here. Judith and I used to live in London all our lives. The last thing you would ever do in London is answer the door. I know it's, you know, on the Isle of Wight, that must sound ridiculous, but in London, answering the door, you knew it was a sign of trouble. So, I mean, maybe people could, although people are used to answering the door on the Isle of Wight, at least ask their neighbours to telephone before they come round, or to text, or something like that.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be any of these surprises. I think one way also of avoiding these surprises might be to have those stickers on the door. But I suppose if somebody's driven all the way from Reading, they're not going to take much note of a sticker, are they?
No, the sticker's important, though, because it's the first indication to the outside world that that person doesn't want to buy goods and services at the door. Mm. So that is an indication that they've already given, so therefore we can take that into account.
So would that help in any prosecution you brought in these circumstances, that the householders did have that notice? So the rogue traders had been given fair warning.
That's right, because that's why we had it reworded in actual fact, so that it is quite explicit. It tells them that it's a criminal offence to actually come back and want to go away and leave me alone, sort of basically it's a message. But also what I'd like to say is that if anybody has a doorstep caller come to them and they send them packing, can they take the next step and either contact the police or ourselves and let us know that there is a doorstep caller in that street at that time?
That's excellent advice. So, and if they could get sort of the name of the company on any van, or even better, a registration plate, or any sort of details to sort of support that call.
That's right. As long as they don't put themselves in any danger.
Yes, absolutely.
Or if they can see it from the window.
From behind closed locked doors.
That's right. If they can just let us know there's a white transit van going around and they're knocking on doors, we will do our best to come out, and the police are ourselves. And actually, local traders don't mind if it happens to be one of them that have called, and you know, or something like that. They don't mind because they know that we're only doing it to protect our local community.
Yeah, of course. I mean, anybody who's genuine would understand, wouldn't they? Absolutely.
Yes, they would.
Okay, well, in terms of getting in touch with you to report these terrible crimes, I think the number is 823371. If you feel that you've been a victim of one of these doorstep crimes. But if you want some of those stickers to put in the window or to put on your door, it's 821000. That's 821000. We're going to talk a little bit in a moment about what the effects of these doorstep crimes are. I can't even say it. But first, a little bit of Rudimental and then a few adverts.
I know you moved on to someone new.
We're here with Julie Woodhouse and Sally Ash from Trading Standards on the Isle of Wight, talking about doorstep scams and talking of cheap seats. I don't think that the seats that were being sold in our drive the other day were particularly cheap. We had a van come down our lane they were selling rather expensive garden furniture that I think was a knock-off, and plants and things like that. But luckily, everyone was warned because one of our neighbours put this up on Facebook, and it is rather wonderful with some of these forms of digital communication that you can do that. And Judith was saying off air a moment ago that I think digital inclusion, which is something that Age Friendly Ireland is all about as well, is a way of getting people to share information about these doorstep crimes. Now, Sally, I just wanted to ask you, how do people actually react when they've been a victim to a doorstep crime? Because I feel very guilty. When my mum and dad were alive, they had somebody commit one of these doorstep crimes, and I just sort of rolled my eyes and said, oh goodness, how could you be that stupid to let that person pull the wool over your eyes? Is that a normal
reaction? I think that probably is quite a normal reaction from family, and a lot of the time maybe that's why we don't hear about scams and doorstep crime, is because people are afraid that that is the reaction that they're going to get.
Right.
Afterwards they realise that they've done something silly, maybe the embarrassment, and they don't want to tell anyone.
I mean, I think the criminals, and they are criminals involved in this, rely upon people's good nature, don't they? And,
oh, most definitely.
You know, most people are good and will be prepared to give a little bit of airtime to somebody who sort of turns up on their doorstep.
Well, exactly. I was doing a talk and ride the other day, and one gentleman said, oh yes, I had a man knock up at the door. He was going round the close, and you've got a ridge tile loose, I can fix that for £35. And he thought, well, you know what, £35, I'm not getting up on a step ladder, I'm too old to do that, go ahead. So he went up there and came back down, and puffing and sighing and shaking his head. The whole roof's gone. It's going to be thousands, thousands. Yeah. Luckily, the gentleman told him to go on his way.
Yeah.
And if his roof needed fixing, he'd find somebody to do it.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, if you've asked somebody to do one small job for you, and they seem they're very nice people, you're likely to want them to, oh, right, well, if my roof is that bad... Could be very worrying. You live on your own. You might not have friends and family that you can ask for advice and support.
Yeah.
And this person's offering to fix your roof for you before you get any leaks, which you're being told are imminent.
Yeah.
Then possibly very likely to go along with it. However, it probably won't stop there. There will be additional things that need doing. There will be additional costs. The job won't be done to a high standard, if at all.
Okay.
Possibly they'd get on the roof and tinker pretend to have done.
But it's not just embarrassment that people suffer, is it? Because I think when people are the victims of crime, it can kind of send them into a downward spiral.
Well, definitely. I mean, it's got to be really terrifying, isn't it, to have somebody come in and do work around your home and charge you extortionate amounts for it. And even when they've gone, or if the police and us have come along, you know they know where you live.
Yeah.
And that has got to be quite a frightening thing for anyone, mm-hmm. let alone somebody who is on their own and vulnerable. It's not just the financial effects of this as well.
Yes.
Like we said, it'll be the friend, the family, a loss of confidence. You might not want to go out. You might be feeling low and depressed, and that's going to have a really terrible effect on the whole of your life.
Absolutely, and it's a real feeling of violation, isn't it, that someone's been into your home, where you should feel safe, you should feel secure, and that safety, that security has been breached, really. And what worries me is if people are very elderly when this sort of thing happens to them, as James has suggested, it could mark the start of a downward spiral for them.
Definitely.
Which might not otherwise have happened.
I mean, there are statistics out there that say people who have been the victims of scams and doorstep crime are 2.5 times more likely to go into care or die within 12 months.
Oh, that's terrible, isn't it?
Because of the impact, the emotional impact of being scammed, conned, cheated.
Yeah.
Maybe out of your life savings. It could have a negative effect on your relationships, whether you're married or not, and you agree to something that your wife or husband agreed to.
I think people, you know, rightly say your home is your castle, and if your castle is sort of feels invaded, violated, then your world falls apart, I guess, doesn't it?
Yes.
If it's somewhere that you felt safe, and most people on the Isle of Wight, let's face it, do feel very safe here.
Well, my mum says to me, we grew up in a generation of trust. You didn't lock your back doors.
No,
people
exactly.
would pop in and out, and. You know, you might go and buy your shopping down the corner shop, and they might let you pay at the end of the week when you've got your pay packet in your hand.
Yeah, I know.
And the island, I feel, is still very much like that.
So do you think people target the island specifically for that reason, that people here, you know, aren't on their guard, that they are, you know, very, very trusting?
Possibly, and we do have quite a high demographic of maybe older and vulnerable residents.
Yeah.
Like Julie was saying, this couple earlier had been targeted, but they look out for certain things. So there'll be closes with bungalows in, maybe disabled bays, maybe handrails, ramps, overgrown gardens, all those indications that maybe the person that lives there isn't able to do those jobs for themselves.
Yeah, I understand. And Julie, do you have any stories about people who've sort of gone into a downward spiral after these doorstep crimes?
Yeah, there was a case of few years ago where there were doorstep traders that were actually laying paved box drives.
Right.
And it was one of those instances where one of the relatives of one of the victims had phoned home, and the son was really upset, so he phoned the police. And we rocked up with the police, and I was dealing with a lady who lived alone.
Yeah.
When I first met her, I was amazed, really, because what happened, it wasn't the usual sort of run of events. She actually got off the bus, and the bus stop was right next to where they were working. So one of the workmen offered to take her shopping up the hill for her.
Yeah.
So that he ended up in her kitchen. Mm. And the conversation carried on about how wouldn't she like her drive done the same way and so on and so forth. She is adamant that she said no.
Yeah.
He came back later just to check to make sure she still said no, and I'm sure she did say no.
Yeah.
The next morning she woke up and she was heard something outside, and it was her drive being dug up.
Oh.
Now, the likes of you and I would probably have phoned the police at that time.
Yeah.
What she got on a bus and went to the bank to borrow the money to pay for it.
Oh, no.
But fortunately, that was the day when we rolled up.
Yeah.
And we were able to intervene. We got the bank loan cancelled. Her drive was in a mess.
Yeah,
but one of the Bi-Week Conference, as it was then, members actually volunteered to put it right for her.
Aww.
So that it was safe, because it was unsafe. But it was five drives in a very short space of time in a state.
Yeah.
And each person had a different type of vulnerability. And that was the first time I'd really been involved with someone over a length of time. And the lady started off being very angry.
Yeah.
She was very angry with this man for doing this. But gradually, it turned into self-doubt. Aww. And then it was sort of like, it must have been my fault, really, wasn't it? But actually, she had a daughter that lived not too far away from her, and she's okay. But I could actually see the difference and the way, after a passage of time, it changed.
Oh, yes. Poor thing. Dear. Well, I think the important thing is to get on now to how to actually protect yourself from these terrible criminals. But first of all, James Arthur, and rather appropriately, Safe Inside. That is Cher, and All I Really Want to Do. Judy and I are here with Julie and Sally from Trading Standards, and all I really want to do is to ask you, how on earth do people protect themselves from these terrible doorstep crimes? Sally, do you want to start off?
Yeah, sure. Well, we've mentioned a few things. So obviously our yellow and black eye wasp door stickers that you can obtain from the call centre at the council, which is 821,000, and
brilliant.
They'll send them
and
out.
I better just remind people, eye wasp is the Isle of Wight Against Scams partnership.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and so obviously these doors, it doesn't stop, this sticker will not stop people knocking your door.
Yeah.
But if they don't go away, you point to the sticker and say, please leave or I'm calling the police.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly within your rights to do that.
Okay, fine.
Simple things, if you haven't got a sticker, look out the window. See who's at your front door, or use a peephole, or try and see if you can, if you know who's there in the first instance.
Yeah.
Use a chain. Quite often we'll go to people's houses, we'll visit residents. Rarely does anyone put a chain on when we knock the door,
exactly.
Which is lovely that we're so welcomed. But on the other hand, it could be, you know, that could makes it much easier to shut the door on somebody when it's only open a couple of inches.
Do you ever get people to use video entry systems or
things like
that?
We haven't moved that.
Right.
that's quite an expensive option as well, isn't it?
And I was just going to say that the door chains, if you haven't got anyone to put one on for you, the Blue Lamp Trust will come and do a security check in your home, and they can install them for you. So that they're really good at doing that.
Yeah, okay. Now, what if people have opened the door and, you know, somebody is giving them the hard sell? How do you actually get people to say no?
We never recommend that you would buy anything on the doorstep.
Yeah.
Like Julie pointed out, you would have to have that 14-day cancellation notice.
Yes.
Never agree to any contract straight away.
Yeah.
These traders will want you to. They will put time pressure on you. They'll want you to do it now. They won't want you to go away and think. They won't want you to talk to family and friends to see if they think that's a good deal.
Yeah.
So that's a real indication that they are a rogue trader. And if it's unsolicited, you haven't asked for it. If somebody knocks your door and says you need a job doing, like Julie said, you might need that job doing, but actually find yourself a reliable, trusted trader, either from friends and family's recommendations or from our trader approval scheme.
Okay, and have you ever asked people to sort of fit panic alarms or anything like that?
No.
As a result of that?
No, we haven't, because what we try not to do is to make them feel more vulnerable than they recognise they are.
Mm.
It's very important from our point of view that they still have that sense of you know, being able to look after themselves. Mm. The last thing we want to do is walk in and start recommending this, that and t'other. We want to be very careful when we're talking about this sort of thing, because we don't want people to be frightened.
Okay.
Yes.
You know.
And you don't want them to feel they're sort of prisoners in their own home,
do
you?
Don't.
Oh,
yeah. No.
And I think the simple expedient of just looking out of the window and seeing who it is. And I think for older people it would be very hard. I know it would have been hard for my mum and dad to look out of the window, see somebody didn't know who it was, and not answer the door. Yes. I think somehow we have to help people over that hurdle, that it's not rude to answer your own front door to somebody who has made an unsolicited call and definitely that you don't want to speak to. It's not rude, it's perfectly acceptable.
It is.
And yes, it's just getting that message across too, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
And then obviously, if you know, to make them feel confident, what if you then phone us, we are still able to do something about that. We are still able to probably stop that vehicle and perhaps find out what they're doing, and you may stop someone else being a victim down the road.
Yeah, and I think in the immortal words of Helen Mirren, I think when she got to her 70th birthday, she was asked what had she always regretted in her life, and she was saying, and she said, it's not telling it's not saying F off to people enough. So whilst I wouldn't necessarily recommend that phraseology, but you know, I think just saying no is something that, you know, people have to get used to.
It goes back to that way we were brought up. I mean, yeah. I find I'm even if I do answer the phone now and it's a scam or a nuisance call, I'm still, no, thank you, no, no, okay, yes, then, thank you, bye. And it's okay to say no, goodbye, and hang the
it
phone
is.
Up.
Oh, I actually slam it down.
Yes.
I actually slam it down.
But we haven't been brought up like
that, have we?
And
we haven't.
Particularly the generation that we're talking about won't have been brought up like that. We'll be brought up to be polite and respectful. And
exactly.
And it will be very hard. I've had stories, and a lot of them do find it quite easy to hang up on people, but some of the stories I've heard. But
I think it's important also that they shouldn't sign anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because with a signature on a piece of paper, you can waive your 14-day cancellation notice to let the trader start. And that's basically what they want you to do.
Oh, very
clever.
So
it's really important that you don't sign anything.
Okay. Well, there's some really, really good advice there. So, Julie and Sally, thank you very much for coming in and telling us all about doorstep crimes. If you have been subject to a doorstep crime, the number to call is 823371. And I think that's a direct number through to your office, so you can talk all about that. But if you want a sticker or you just want to find out some more information in general, go to iwasp.org.uk. That's www.iwasp.org.uk. Or you can call 821 000. That's 821 000. That is the call centre, and they will be able to get some stickers to you saying that you don't want any doorstep traders coming along. Next time on Older and Wiser, we're going to be having Simon Barton around, I think, to talk about doorstep crime. Oh, no, I've got the wrong leaflet here. What is it next time?
It's the home share.
It's the home share thing. I'm so sorry. Yeah, okay. Home share is a project which aims to place people who need somewhere to live together with older people so that they can do a little bit of handiwork for them, but also get somewhere to live. And it's also a great way of having older and younger people mixing and older people being less lonely as a result of that. That's going to be home share on the next programme. We'll keep you updated on the date of the next programme. But in the meantime, thank you so much for coming in today. Here's some Charlie Puth, and Judith and I will be back next week.
Older and Wiser with James and Judith and Age Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund.